Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody for this episode. I am joined by you guys. We are heading into a Monday. I am recording this on Sunday evening after my Vikings. Well, my Vikings went full Vikings, and it's just never pretty when the Vikings go full Vikings. So I'm going to record a mailbag podcast with the help of you guys and your five-star questions here on iTunes. I really appreciate those of you who sent those in. We have a ton to get to, so not too much in the way of intro to this show. We're going to dive right in immediately. Today's show is going to be brought to you by Mazuma. More on those guys here in a bit. But the first question here comes from I Miss Julius. I do too. I really do. Longtime listener out here in Connecticut, with the game D'Angelo Russell just had against the Lakers, do you have a specific game where a former Laker came back and burned his old team that makes you the most angry? I remember being 10 or so and staying up till 1 in the morning to watch Shaq and the Suns beat the Lakers, and I don't think I'll ever forget him, or forget him. Great show. Hey, thanks, man. The D'Angelo Russell one, like, I know it's appeal to recent fallacy, but that one was like particularly painful, right? It's a team the Lakers should have beaten. It was him playing, probably outplaying Lonzo Ball. It was him icing the game with that late three-pointer. It was all of those things. So I think that, like, as of, you know, just off the top of my head, that is the one that sticks out the most. But I do remember there was a Christmas game, the first Christmas game after Shaq was traded to Miami. He went into Staples Center, and I remember, like, at the end of the three-peat era Lakers, looking at Shaq and just being like, thinking like, dear God, man, like, have some kind of pride in yourself. He just, like, got more and more rotund. He got rounder and rounder and rounder, and then he got traded to Miami. Used that as an FU moment. And got into shape, and I remember being so angry, like, legitimately livid. My dad and I said some things about Shaq that I cannot repeat on the air here for fear of getting kicked off the airwaves. But I remember just looking at him and thinking, like, dude, really? Like, that's all Kobe and Laker fans have been asking for this whole time, is for you to get or stay in shape. And he never did. And then he did when he was traded. That was a bummer. And I feel like we're going to be heading in that direction here with Puig too, being traded to Cincinnati, but we'll see. So good question. That's a fun one. There's one here from, I'm Drew. This is a Lakers Christmas moment. It's a long one, but I'm going to read it anyway because there's mention of a daughter, and given some things going on in my life right now that strikes a chord with me, so I'm just going to read this. Again, this is from I'm Drew. Hey, Anthony, my favorite Lakers Christmas moment comes from 2007. I'm from and live in New York. That year, the Lakers played the Knicks 2 days before Christmas. This would be the closest I've ever come to seeing the Lakers on Christmas Day in person. Seeing Kobe go full Kobe, 39 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists was really dope. The game had no real significance for Laker fans other than another win. But for me, it was my first Christmas with my now wife. That's awesome. And she was also 4 months pregnant at the time with our now 10-year-old daughter. She got the tickets for us, and it was a surprise to me. This was also the day that we found out we would be having a girl as our first child. So wins across the board. This is awesome. A question I have for this week is, could you ever see Brandon becoming an Andre Iguodala type? If we acquired some more talented guys and were able to keep Brandon around, I think he'd be able to do the things that help us win like Iguodala does for Golden State. I think, and then he continues to make the case for Ingram as an Iguodala type. I want to take a moment to just, like, that story about Christmas with the future wife as she was pregnant, 4 months pregnant, like, that's the kind of stuff that you're going to remember forever. And that's what sports fandom is all about are those memories, right? I remember, I think I told this story last time Pete was on here, but Jen took me to a Christmas Lakers game out here in LA against Boston. And her being able to like separate herself from her family and being okay with that kind of thing, like that was the first time I really looked at Jen and I was like, whoa, she really might be legitimately special. And we went that day. It was an incredible experience. We had a ton of fun. I got really I was too young to drink. I was too young to drink legally. But I yelled obscenities at Paul Pierce for like 3 hours. Like that's always fun. But yeah, like that story there, I'm going to respond to that more than the Ingram thing, because the Ingram thing we're going to keep on getting to throughout the show. But thank you very much for your Lakers Christmas story. I greatly appreciate it. I will take a quick second here and I will answer the second part of that thing, the question about Ingram as Iguodala, here in a second. But before we get to that, today's show is brought to you by Mazooma. If you are a small business owner, we're talking 5 to 10 to 15 employees, and you are looking to get your finances in order, I need you to hit up Mazooma. They have CPAs, bookkeepers, and accountants all here in the United States, and within an email or text away or a call away, they're always available. They've been incredible with us, and they have packages starting at only $75 a month. And for me personally, like, peace of mind is priceless. So I want you to write this number down. It is 213-947-6926. Again, that is 213-947-6926. Give them a call. It's a no strings attached consultation to figure out what might make the most sense for you and your business. And I'm telling you, they are incredible at what they do. So give them a call. Bring in the new year with the peace of mind knowing that your finances and your business's finances are in order. And start 2019 off on the right foot. We're going to take another second here, and when we come back, I'm going to answer the second half of that question and then the rest of your guys' questions. Hang tight. All right, so the second half of the question was, could Ingram ever become an Andre Iguodala type? Yes, he could, but not for the Lakers, I don't think. I don't think at this stage of his career and at this stage of his life, being only 21 years old, he's mature enough to accept that type of role. We're seeing it already, where we see flashes of him playing the right way, and then he reverts back to like the bad habits of isolation heavy Brandon Ingram. And that tells me while I think he's insanely mature for his age, like, don't get me wrong, in order to be a millionaire at this age and have the success that he has personally, physically, and mentally, you need to be really mature. But in the NBA, you're going up against actual adults. You're going up against grown-ass men. And I don't see him having that type of mentality right now, where he's willing to accept consistently that type of Andre Iguodala on the Warriors' role. It'd be great if he did. I mean, Iguodala won Finals MVP. In my opinion, it should have been LeBron. But he won Finals MVP, and there are things to take away from that, watching that experience take place. But I just don't see that right now with Ingram at this stage of his career and his life mentally and maturity-wise. So, good question, though. All right, next question. Thoughts on KG's comments about AD. When will AD and the Pelicans have a sit-down and be honest with each other about his future? So Kevin Garnett basically said it's time. Like, don't wait around. If they haven't figured it out to this at this point, it's probably time for you to force your way out of New Orleans. And he's saying this from experience, having tried to carry a fervently inept organization in the Minnesota Timberwolves before he finally said, all right, enough is enough, I want out. And he was traded to Boston in a championship caliber organization. They won a championship, and that kind of was that really changed his perception winning wise, right? And I think from that experience, Garnett offers some legitimately interesting and introspective advice to Anthony Davis. And so that's kind of, it's hard to argue with it, right? Like sometimes you just get advice and you get that advice and it's the tough thing to do, right? You sit down with some friends and they say, man, your significant other is really bringing you down. And they make a case for you and you really think about it and you realize, damn, that's a good point, right? And that moment is tough to really kind of come to grips with. But at the end of the day, it's about what's best for you. We've all had that moment. I went the other way where I was proposing to Jen, and my buddy Steve, who I consider my best friend and one of the best people that I know, kind of pulled me aside and he's like, are you sure about this? Not to say that, no, I don't know about this, whatever, but he gave me advice that I really took into account. And I said, no, I really am sure about this. And lo and behold, here we are about 6 years later, having accomplished our dreams. And so if I was Anthony Davis, I would listen to this advice from Kevin Garnett. I would really take it into account. He's been there playing basically the same position even. And if I was Anthony Davis, I would really think long and hard about this. I would probably heed Kevin Garnett's advice and demand a trade, because what it comes down to is, look, man, I've given you guys 5 years. I have a limited amount of time before I have to call it quits. And you never know when that time might come. Some injury might pop up. Hell, I was just watching The Shop the other day, and Chris Bosh was talking about how, you know, they had Chris Bosh on there, and his career was cut short because you just never know how life and your career is going to go. If I was Anthony Davis, I would probably go to management and I would ask for them to get me out of there. They don't deserve them. They really don't. How long? When might that happen? Hopefully sooner rather than later. All right, next question. This is from Groove. Big fan of the show. Thank you very much. Thanks for your hard work and providing us with insightful opinions and analysis. I try. Question. I feel like Kuz and Ingram will be all-stars one day. In your opinion, what do you think they need to work on and or add to their games to become truly elite players in this league? I feel like they can get there with them being this good at this stage of their careers. Man, it really depends on where they play the rest of their career. Like, if they remain Lakers for the entirety of their careers, they will be all-stars at some point, just because of the stage and the platform that they would be playing on, right? If Ingram gets moved and is just kind of handed the keys over to his own organization, I actually think he could carry that weight. Maybe not incredibly efficiently, but I do think that he'll have enough flashes to where he makes an all-star game at some point. Kuzma's tough because he feels like a career-long role player, and unless he's on like just some incredible team, I don't see him making an all-star team. That said, he is the type of player who overachieves and becomes an all-star just because of the way and the variety of ways that he can score. And really, that's what it comes down to a lot of times when you're talking about guys trying to get into the all-star game. We're going to take another quick second here. And when we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your guys' questions. All right, so I have another question here. It's about the ads and stuff. They told me not to read it on the air, but I'm just going to come out and say this. I've said this multiple times. I am not going to apologize for being able to make a livelihood, earn a livelihood off of this show. And in order to be able to do that, I have to run ads. I'm sorry. There's a button right there on your iPad or on your iPhone or on your Samsung Galaxy that says, like, skip ahead 30 seconds. And I try to keep my reads under a minute. So you just have to hit that button twice and you get to, and we keep on getting to run the show and I get to continue having this as a career. So I'm not going to apologize for that. If it's that big a problem for you, then I don't know, man, go yell at a dog or something. All right. Next question from Huli_O. Thank you. Or hello, Anthony, huge fan and supporter of the show. Thanks much. I didn't hear my question answered to the last two mailbags, so I thought I would repost because I'm curious to know your thoughts. One, what team would benefit more, AD to the Lakers or KD to the Blazers? AD to the Lakers because they have a dire need at that position. Two, the way your son Zubats, that's Harrison's son, has been playing, do you feel they are giving him playing time to increase his value in a potential future trade? Maybe. I think so. I don't think it's a matter of them playing him this much to raise his trade value. It's more that they need him to play because of the injury to JaVale McGee. But here we are. And third, would you take a chance on re-signing Zubats and Chandler to the roster since McGee's price tag may end up being too high to keep him next summer? It's an interesting thought. I guess it just depends on like the rest of the roster around him. Like Tyson Chandler makes a ton of sense behind a player like Anthony Davis because then you only need Chandler for like 10 to 12 minutes a game, and that's perfect for him. So, and then Zubats, if the Lakers were to somehow acquire Anthony Davis and I was Zubats' agent, I would probably tell him to find another place to be able to grow into a larger role. That's just what I would advise him to do. Finally, why have the Lakers been able to stay so competitive against the Warriors over the last 3 years? Are we their poison? That's a good question. I think what it comes down to is the Lakers are very long and have been very long at positions that give the Warriors problems. Like even before Lonzo Ball showed up, D'Angelo Russell was a long point guard. Brandon Ingram is a long wing, right? And you ask any shooter out there, what it comes down to is the best way to ensure I miss my shots is to make me uncomfortable. And the best way to make that type of player uncomfortable is to force them into situations where they have to rush it through length or athleticism or whatever. So I don't know if it's so much the Lakers doing anything extraordinary to present unique problems to the Golden State Warriors, but I do think the Lakers and the rest of the league, really, I mean, you're seeing it now with the Warriors struggling the way that they do. They've kind of figured out, all right, we'll just have really long people on the court at all time as much as we possibly can, and we'll see if we can disrupt their rhythm as much as we possibly can. Good question, though. All right, good questions. We have a few more here. This is from Duran. No more Fagan. The sarcasm and unnecessary quips between Lakers takes are unbearable. I agree. Harrison's the worst. No, I'm kidding. Harrison, congratulations on getting engaged. Next question here from SemperFi22. Hey there, first time asking a question. Thanks for doing that. What's your take on whether we are giving LeBron too much credit at this point? He's still not the greatest of all time. He needs to win as a Laker to have an argument as GOAT, in my opinion. I digress. Also, what if this injury is planned? Quote-unquote injury is planned? Is it possible LeBron and Magic are clever enough to make it so it looks like LeBron is injured to the public so we can actually get a rest midseason and help the young core develop by giving them some time without LeBron on the court? Also, on the Melo situation, is it possible LeBron is just helping his boy get a spot in the NBA somewhere by continuing to say positive things about him so his image stays intact? Or do you think the rest of the league is dumb enough to even consider Melo on their team? All right, lot to get to here. Also, if you run into a spot like this, I'm going to do mailbags like this in perpetuity. So, like, if you have a question, fire off one question, and I promise I will answer it. And then if you have another question, fire it off in a separate review the next week, and I promise I will get to it. I'm trying to do the best job I can on getting to all these, and sometimes it makes it tough when I have, you know, four questions per review. But big, larger overriding point here. Thank you for your reviews. Let's start with the LeBron being the GOAT or needing a championship with the Lakers to be in the GOAT conversation. I think that's insane, really. Like, no offense, but LeBron at this point is going, or is his trajectory right now is such that his resume, by the time he retires, it's going to be really hard, even for the people who hate him the most, to poke holes in his resume. That's just the direction that he's heading in right now. Regarding his injury and whether or not it's planned, I don't see that either because of how insane the Western Conference is. The Lakers cannot afford to drop, you know, 4 out of 5 or 7 out of 10. Like, they just can't, because the Western Conference is so insane that you need to keep up pace with the rest of everybody else involved. So unless the Lakers really believe in their young guys, I just don't quite see in that either. On the Melo situation, I do think this is LeBron helping his buddy out as best as he can, given flexing the leverage that the best that he can to try to get Melo somewhere, but you know, and not have Melo be forced into retirement. That said, I don't think there is a team out there dumb enough to do it. I just don't. We've seen the Oklahoma City Thunder get better without Carmelo Anthony. We've seen the Houston Rockets get better without Carmelo Anthony. And I think everybody around the league is noticing, okay, yeah, because he doesn't have any self-awareness, it's just not worth it to bring him in. That's what's going on there. Next question here. We have a few more. Oof, we have a few, quite a few more. From Davin112, where do we trade Ingram? If it's not New Orleans, do we trade him? To answer briefly, no. I don't think the Lakers trade Ingram if it isn't part of a Anthony Davis trade. That's just the Lakers are in the stage of asset management right now, and trading Ingram for somebody who helps them win right now makes a little bit of sense because wins are fun. But their eyes are also set on a larger prize. With that said, though, I did throw out a three team trade between the Lakers, the Pelicans, and the Washington Wizards, where the Lakers trade Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. Lonzo would go to Washington. Ingram would go to New Orleans. The Lakers would land Anthony Davis. Bradley Beal would go to New Orleans. And there was one more player going to Washington that I forget. I forget what it was. But a three-team trade there, and the Lakers would send out picks to probably both teams to try to make the thing work. Under that circumstance and that circumstance alone, does trading Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball make sense? That's it. Next question here. This is from Nick Batchelor. Same kind of question. Hey, Anthony, we need to trade Ingram. He doesn't have the eye of the tiger. Careless turnovers time after time. Can't hit free throws either when we need it. Time to trade him. Had to vent. Nick Batchelor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Ingram has been a subject on the show a ton lately. He's very frustrating. But he's not so frustrating or so talentless that the Lakers should just dump him. That's all I'm going to say on that matter. The Lakers need to find value for him because of the lack of assets they have beyond him, right? Like, if they just dump Brandon Ingram, they don't have much behind him to either turn into a bigger trade after that or to continue to build the roster around LeBron. Like, they just don't. And so if they do trade Brandon Ingram, it has to be for some kind of value coming back. Next question. Dylan Brobs, B. Robs 89, great pod. I agree with 99% of the things you say, but I think you take shots at Lance Stephenson too much. I understand he has plenty of moments with stupid turnovers and pull-up shots, but Lance has the energy that fits this team perfectly. Coming off the bench, I think he's great. He's a bucket getter and a dog. He has hit plenty of big shots for us already this season that have started big runs. You compare him to Beasley, who has hardly played, and I think that's wrong. Lance makes plays and plays at the perfect pace for this team. What's that meme? The meme from from Star Wars, the joke where Luke Skywalker says, "Amazing. Everything you just said was wrong." That's my response. Next question here from Tommy Rainville. I think when Kuzma starts catching fire, this is one of my favorite. This is one of my favorite reviews of the day. Actually, I'm going to finish here. I'm going to skip this one for now and then come back to it and finish on that note. This is from Vontae 35. I may be crazy here, but why does it seem like the Lakers cannot effectively run their defense without JaVale? Because he's. It turns out having 7 foot plus super athletic and long guys help you play defense. And the Lakers only have two of those. And when JaVale is out, and the other guy that they have that fits that description is really old and cannot push himself long enough. So the Lakers really need JaVale back, like as soon as humanly possible. That's where they are right now. All right, let's finish on this one. This is from Tommy Rainville. I think when Kuzma starts catching fire, we should call it Hakuzma Matata. Do you think that's clever or lame? I think it's clever as hell, and I love it. I'm going to try to tweet it out at some point during a game and see how it goes over. So thanks, Tommy. I won't be offended if you think it's lame. I do not. I just feel very comfortable at this point when he has a ball and is going for a score, even with a less than great 3-point shooting. So the 3-point shooting is a little bit of a worry here. I'd like for him to be a little bit more consistent in that respect. That said, he has one of my favorite offensive games to watch in terms of moves and skills and all that stuff. Kuzma's legit. He's really freaking good. And I think he's going to be really freaking good moving forward for the rest of his career. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This is the last show that I'm going to record before the new year. I have a wedding to go to tomorrow. So I guess my New Year's resolution, since I'll hand it out here, I'll give one for the Lakers and I'll give one for myself. For the Lakers, get healthy, please. just please get healthy. That's really all I want. I really think the Lakers are capable of title contention this year. I don't think they should be considered a favorite or whatever, but if the right things go their way, I think they can vie for a title this year. Personally, for my personal resolution, I got to keep losing weight, man. I have reasons to stick around, and I'm going to keep getting to – I'll get to those reasons here when the time comes, but I have reasons to stick around. So I'm gonna get healthier this year. I hope you guys do too. I'm gonna wrap up this show right now. As we head into the new year, all I ask of you guys is to make somebody's day, make somebody smile. Have a good one.